Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Sis, let me know if you can hear me still. Just text the number. My number. It's awesome, awesome, awesome. Okay. Thank you. Let's see. Hold on 1 second, y'all. All right, great, great. Sis can hear me. Sis can hear me. Welcome to the show, everyone. I did not have no music set for today. I just want to kind of dive right in. I want to give my 440-766, I see you. Thank you for tuning in. I want to give my co-host a couple minutes to get set, and then he's going to join us. Today's topic first. Happy Sunday, everyone. Is this the first Sunday in August? Yep, it's the first Sunday in August. So happy Sunday, everyone. Thank you for joining the Enigmatic Wave Radio Show this evening. We got a great topic, and I'm very anxious to kind of get some great dialogue about it today. Sis, I'm going to bring you in a second just if you want to, you know, chit-chat for a second until our co-hosts come on. So, yeah. Today is a good topic. I'm very interested in dialoguing about today's topic. Today's topic is called From the Cradle to Prison / From the Cradle to the Pipeline. It's very interesting because I didn't know there was a research about this. And, of course, my co-host, he's going to speak more about it. Let me text something real quick. Da-da-dee-da. Sis, I'm about to bring you in just for a quick second. I just want to see how you're doing. Hold on. Hey, sis.
Hey, sis. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
I know. It feels kind of awkward not having you on my right side today, but I think Jerome's going to do pretty good today. But I definitely want to bring you in for a quick second while we wait on him. He told me to get him a few seconds. I'm not sure. If that's you, Jerome, I think you just came in. Text my number so I can bring you in. But, yeah, sis, I can leave you open or mute you. I want to leave you open. So I'm going to leave you open because I'm just used to you being open. But,
this topic today, I just paid attention to it, and I seen something on social media this morning on Facebook, mm-hmm. actually in the group that I'm in. And so what it had was a little type commercial advertising a product, right? So I was like, okay, let me see this. So it was a little kid on there. Girl, mm-hmm. oh, my goodness. It was so disturbing to me that they had where a baby, you know how babies crawl out of their crib and they go roaming around the house and get their toys. And Well, they had an ankle bracelet for a baby that you actually screw on, that it has the lock, and it'll alarm. And it tells you, it says, this is how you should take care of your baby to keep them out of trouble. A baby.
We definitely got to talk more about that. That's crazy.
It's in a group you were in, too. We were both in that group. So I don't know if you it's in that group. So you.
Yeah, I'm probably still in it, but I'm not, you know, I'm not on there anymore.
Yeah, but you go in there, you will see it. If you go in there, you will see it. It just really, it bothered me. You know, and it showed them locking this thing on this baby's leg. Like, you. This is the worst idea ever because you setting your children up for failure. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
This is what you start off with a baby. Come on now.
Yeah, that's horrible. But that we're gonna definitely talk more about that because that's just how a society see this whole. I don't know what to call that for real right now, but that's kind of deep. Hopefully we can kind of talk more about that. I'm about to bring you in, Jerome. Be ready for us, sis. So, like I said, I'm going to leave your mic open, but if you want to do that anytime,
okay,
that's
just
cool.
Myself.
But, okay, and then once you're ready to come in, so I don't, because I'm sure you want a dialogue, so I'm just going to leave you open for now. But I'm about to bring Jerome in right now. I'm about to bring you in, Jerome.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm all right.
That's what's up. I definitely appreciate you joining the team of co-hosts. This is my first week of my circle, so I'm very excited to see how this is going to go. So I knew you would be great to lead it off. So welcome to the show. Thank you for being my co-host for today. We do have quite a few listeners right now, and I'm so excited about that. Thank you, everybody. I see you 678. I see you 470. 470, I know that's Atlanta, but I think that's my children. They got Atlanta area code. 216, as always, I appreciate you. So, Jerome, give us a little background for those who don't know you, just a little bio of who you are and what you do, things like that. And then we can just dive right in.
Okay, well, my name is Jerome. I'm from Cleveland. I'm from the St. Clair area. I have a chess program, a mentoring program. I teach young people how to play chess and teach them life skills through the game of chess to help them learn how to think, because a lot of them be impulsive. In the game of chess, it teaches you patience to think, so it helps with their impulsive behavior. So, yeah, that's something that I do, and I work with, you know, the schools and the community, and I just try to be a positive role model.
That's what's up. That's what's up. 440, I see you out there. Thank you for tuning in. So you guys, it looks like I have some new listeners, so that's what's up too. And y'all got to get used to me saying that's what's up, because that's what I do. I say that's what's up. So this is how this goes. Jerome and I are going to dialogue. This is his topic, so I'm going to have him lead off, and then I'll just dialogue or join in or chime in whenever I want to kind of like get a feedback from him or whatever. If you guys want to join in the conversation, definitely hit your number one. I'm not going to automatically think or assume that you want to join the conversation, so I won't just bring you in. But if you want to join the conversation or ask Jerome a question or myself, just hit your number one on your phone. It's going to signal me on my end, and then I'll bring you in. I do have Jerome. I have Sis. She's just hanging out. But I don't know if you heard what she was saying when you first logged in. Did you hear what she was saying about the ankle bracelet? That's deep, isn't it? Wow.
That is.
I'm going to have to just go check that out. I'm not on social media anymore, but she said it's in a group that we're in. Sis, when you get a chance, send it to my inbox. I'm going to reinstall it because I want Jerome to see that so we can you know, talk about that another time. But So this is your topic, Jerome. So go ahead. You can lead it off. Oh, let me just introduce the topic. So today we're going to be talking about From the Cradle to Prison. This is a topic chosen by our co-host today, Jerome. So like I said, he's going to lead it off, and then we're just going to dialogue. And if you guys want to kind of chime in, please, this is a very interesting conversation. I would love to hear from, you know, whoever have some great thoughts or opinions about it. So go ahead, Jerome. The floor is yours. The mic is yours, rather.
No, we good. So the Cradle to the Prison pipeline is something that was created in the 80s. It was created around a time with Ronald Reagan, right? What was his wife's name, Nancy?
Nancy, yes.
Yeah, they had a plan to pretty much be tougher on crime and stuff like that. So some of the things, the factors that they came up with outside of crime that determines if a person would be incarcerated was their reading skills. So pretty much the Cradle to the Prison pipeline says, based off a child's third grade reading score, they could determine if they're going to go to prison or not. And I think it's crazy, because if we take from the time that they created it in the 80s up until now, even when I was in high school, I can remember them introducing the what they call it, the metal detectors. You know what I'm saying? A lot of they didn't think none of it. Of course, they tell us it's for safety, right? But when you look at these places, anywhere you go where a metal detector at. It's basically for crime, right? So I think it's crazy for them to have this particular thing in place and base it off our kids' third grade reading scores. So how they do that is that, let's just say a kid is delinquent and always prone to get in trouble. That's them already being pushed out the classroom, right? So if they get pushed out the classroom, eventually they're going to eventually be pushed out of the school. If you pushed out of the school, where you find yourself out? You'll find yourself at just in the community being idle with your time. So we already know how that idle time get us, right? It's more so like we find shit to get into. It may be just like, even if we just chilling, smoking some weed, we just left school because we all suspended, or we just skipped in school, whatever the case may be, because we feel like we don't fit in or we don't want to be there, or the curriculum don't identify with us. It's a bunch of things that make us not want to be in school. But the fact that we don't go, and the fact that when we do go, we find ourselves in trouble, we getting pushed out anyway. And after the time we pushed out, by the time we pushed out, we found ourselves pushed right into the juvenile system. Or, or, you know, we going straight to the big house. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I think it's important to understand these things that's put in place, because a lot of times I know we blame each other. Like, oh, we need more male mentors, and we need this, and we need that. But they definitely have systematic systems that's in place to keep us from getting ahead and to keep funding their system, right? So I think it's a big issue that we should focus on, in truth, a lot of us don't be able to, we don't know how to read, some of us, and we actually use our inability to read when we called on to read, right? We crack a joke, you know what I'm saying? Or we say something crazy to deflect the fact that we can't. You see what I'm saying? And that's and that's the thing too. Like, we definitely need to focus on literacy. Literacy is so important that some of our parents don't even be knowing how to read. And it sounds small to some, like, oh, literacy, reading. But no, you'd be surprised how many people don't know how to read. You know what I'm saying? And that's part of the reason, for real, like, some of them don't finish school, or some of them don't go to that interview, or some of them don't even speak up to even utilize their voice, because one, they don't know how to articulate themselves, and two, it's like, fuck it, don't nobody care anyway. So, but with that cradle to the prison pipeline, it's so crazy, because you got a group of people saying, based off, like, they already judging our kids off the rip. Because we all know that we didn't struggle in before, right? And all we needed was a little bit of tutoring or a little bit more attention, and it would have got us on path. But for them just to say our socioeconomical conditions and our reading scores is determined that we're going to get locked up, it lets you know that a system is in place to keep funding their prisons. Because you got to figure, right? They have to have something in place to fund a prison. Because if they don't, how are they going to keep getting them filled? So, yes, laws and stuff is in place that keeps us from advancing. What's up, man? Yeah. All right. That keeps us from advancing and being pushed into the system. Even the fact that, like, now they're trying to apologize, y'all. I got the baby, so y'all might hear
you
them.
You get it.
So yeah, I just think that's definitely something we should focus on, is literacy, but also just being more involved and knowing that these issues do exist, and positioning ourselves to do something about it, versus saying, well, shit, that ain't my kid. And you know, and we make these statements like, shit, I got to worry about mine. And I remember my sister told me I quote a lot of music, right? Definitely Fabulous. Mm-hmm. Fabulous on the one cut, on the one song, he say, we need a 101 before it goes gun on gun. People skip the front page till they see their son on one. You know, like, it's like we ignore stuff so much until it hits too close to home. You know what I'm saying? And I definitely
think
we just got to get more involved because people are making rules about us, and we ain't saying shit. We just going with the flow.
Right. Right. I see you 440. Give me 1 second, 440-766. I got a hand raised real quick. But let me, because I want everybody to have a opportunity. Was you still speaking, or do you want me to get some feedback now, Jerome?
Yeah, you good. We get some feedback.
Okay, let me. I didn't mean to, you know, cut your, they say, cut your wisdom. But let me see who this is real quick. Hold on 1 second. 440-766. I'm about to bring you in. Hold on 1 second. Oh, there you go. Hey, welcome to the show.
Yes, hello. How you doing today? I first like to say I appreciate the enlightenment. You know, what's his name? Jeremiah?
Jerome.
Wow.
First, state your name and where
you
calling from.
Well, I'm actually calling from Cleveland. My name is Elroy, and you know, I just tumped in because you know, I love your show. But I gotta say, which is about that Ronald Reagan. You know, it's actually, you're right. It's the Comprehensive Crime Control Act, which actually, in 1984, that's the legislature passed with Ronald Reagan. And later on, that Bill Clinton, he actually is called the Tough on Crime, you know, but you're so right. But when you have, like you say, when we don't have positive people, you know, parents who, you know, they don't sit down and teach, you know, about the awareness, what's going on, and just leave it up to the school. It ain't about leaving it up to the school. When the time you go to the school, time you get home, you know, class is always being session.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I understand that you make a lot of sense. And today, you know, we have, you know, I just came, you know, did 5 years in prison. And, you know, it's a lot of young kids. They don't have no mentor. Even today, you know, it's like the older generation, you know, they condone, you know, sex, money, and drugs without teaching the young generation. So back then, when you came up to the Ronald Reagan Act and stuff, you know, they came up, we'll put these kids on Ritalin. But, you know, when it's a problem in a suburban, you know, white class neighborhood, they got so much programs for the kids and stuff like that. You know, but we ain't had, even today in jail, they stripped all the programs. It's like they don't want to see. But, you know, like you say, we need role models, and these kids need that to teach them, you know, about laws and self-awareness. And, you know, just because you messed up and have a felony, there's other ways around that, because actually the Comprehensive Crime Control Act, you know, they also passed a bill about, you know, felons can own their own business, but we don't know nothing about that. We just know barbecues and, you know, trying to come up with a quick dollar and, you know, money, sex, drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a beautiful topic to be aware of. A lot of kids is not aware because they don't have no strong, you know, as they say, real G's, as in, you know, teachers, motivators. You know, to explain, see, back in the day, when you came into the 80s, before the drugs hit tough, you hear old school guys, you know, here, young blood, you know, this how you put this how you change your oil, this how you paint. We don't have that, really. We have, it's some guys like that, you know, but it's more and more become pathetic because, man, out of 3,000 inmates, you see all the old generation, man. They condone, man. It's okay, yeah, man. Go, yeah, you, yeah. When I get out, man, yeah, man. We about to turn up. I'm about to sell drugs, and so it's a plant that and planted in, you know, the young head. So they, okay, this is what it is. So when it comes to this is what it is, some kids you get, you know, you got strong minded kids, and you got weak minded kids. But once you take a hold of that mental stage of, you know, that's the way of life. It's like going outside to talk to a brick wall. That brick wall ain't going to talk back, but some of these kids, you know, you can reach to them, you know, but, you know, the self-awareness of the, you know, the Ronald Reagan, you know, Comprehensive Crime Control Act was passed down in 1984. People need to be more aware and sit down and talk to their kids and just get an understanding and get them as curriculums and get them in programs. That's like you say, you know, you teaching kids patience, and that's a beautiful thing because patience is a part of discipline. So, man, I appreciate you hiding for that, man, and, you know, I appreciate you again for that, you know.
No, most definitely. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just about to say the same thing because definitely you are doing a great thing. But I wanted you to respond to him if you had a response. But I had a question for both of y'all. So if you wanted to respond to him, Jerome, go ahead. I mean, this show, Mike. So go ahead. I'm just refereeing. That's all.
No, for sure. It's good. So I just wanted to say in reference to what the brother has said, he's definitely correct. Definitely about, you know, in jail, like, because I did 7 myself, you know, but I've been home since 2011. But I still, you know, people still call me the whole nine, but, like, they definitely get the education programs out. But I also think that one of the biggest issues with them taking the programming out is them controlling the books that come through, them having book ban lists, right?
And you're so correct, y'all.
They control the material that we take in. So by them controlling the material that we take in and us allowing them to, and I use the word allowing because even when we get out here, we still don't read, a lot of us. And there's brothers that be locked up in there for years and still never learn nothing. They think it's cool to run around drink parties, you know what I'm saying, pop in the drills and chase whatever hustle or whatever they into. But once you get on this side, it's different because everybody be selfish. And I think a lot of times it's important for us to take into consideration. Some parents don't even have the time to invest in their kids because a lot of times the man be leaving. So if the man leaves and a woman forced to raise her child by herself, right, and she got to work, she got to turn around, make sure the kid get to school, provide for him. She playing both roles, you know. And then we speak about her masculine energy, right? But at the same time, it's like she forced her to do so. So she's not able to. It's not a two-parent household. So a mother is not able to do what she need to do and check up on her baby. You know what I'm saying? Because she drained. You know what I'm saying? And by the time you do get around time to her baby to see what's going on, shit, it's like, all right, you're just going up to the schools to the meeting. Oh, what the grades like? You feel me? And like,
right.
We're not involved that much. And I always say this, and I'm gonna say it. May hear me say it every time I speak. More men need to get involved. A lot of times we place so much blame on the system. We place so much blame on each other, but we don't even show each other no grace. And, like, it's definitely important for us to show each other grace because not everything is our fault. Not everything is that black woman's fault. Not everything is that black man's fault. Not everything is that child's cleaning out the child's fault because they didn't ask to be here, right? So just to add to what you were saying, with these particular acts in place, and, you know, even people saying Bill Clinton, the black president, right, but he the one that said we got to do 80% of our time, right? And mm-hmm. made that a law. So people ignore these particular things, and then Hillary comes through and try to shift it. You know what I'm saying? The law that Bill put in place. You know what I'm saying? And it's once we get outside of the game that they play in the political realm and focus on us, focus on our children, focus on us as men, focus on our women, because I place everything back on that black man, because we the ones who are not involved in our communities in the capacity that we need to. We're the ones who be leaving all these single-parent households, right, and leaving mm-hmm. women to raise these babies by themselves, and we the ones who not even defending or protecting them.
No, I really have to agree with you on that. You know, it's sad, and once again, man, to the ladies out there, I'm so sorry for these cowardly men. You know what I mean? They're going more and more cowardly by the day. But go ahead, Queen.
Yeah, so real quick, I appreciate that, Elroy. So real quick, I have a $1 million question. So the question is, because we're speaking about something that happened back in the 80s, right? And here we are, 2023. Like, I wasn't aware of that term when Jerome and I was speaking about it. But I do remember back with Ronald Reagan era with Nancy Reagan and Bill Clinton, blah, 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 the whole thing regarding those incarcerated, right? But when you think about that time from there to now, that's a big gap, right? I hear Jerome when he say we need to put more responsibility or have the black man become more responsible and accountable for his children. But what if you have a two-parent household, you black two-parent household, good jobs, been there for the children the whole time from birth to the age they are, but you still have, even though it might be a small percentage, what do you do in a situation where you have that two-parent household, a good foundation, great education, but you still have that team doing whatever they want to do as far as, like, staying in trouble, on probation, catching cases, things like that? How do you handle that? Again, I know it's a small percentage, but there are situations where we do have that. How do you approach that? How do you give that, guide that child who has all the things he needs to have a great foundation to prosper in life, but he choose not to, or she choose not to? Jerome, you can answer it. And if Errol, you have a response, you can. But go ahead, Jerome.
I was going to say,
you might be a spoiled brat.
No, I was going to say one of the most important things for a child is the zip code. You know, we could turn around and we can give a child everything, right? But nothing is more influencing than the environment that they in. Because we're teaching them, we need to teach them in a household, but their peers, they got some other knowledge for their ass. You know what I'm saying? And they live in every age. So let's just say a kid go to school and they watching videos on YouTube during lunch or something, and it's like, dang, that's going on, whatever, especially if I'm an outsider and I'm looking to be in the in crowd, and I may be fly like everybody else, but I'm not really about that life like the other people is, but I want to make myself part of that in crowd. So what I do is I simulate, you know what I'm saying? I turn around, like, I learn the things that they know, you know, they lingo. And before you know it, like, that's why you have a lot of dudes from the Heights. Like, and I say this all the time, like in the streets right now, a lot of dudes from the Heights got the bag, for real. It sounds crazy, but they do. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But you got to figure, like, okay, they grew up in these environments when this wasn't really they, you know what I'm saying, they upbringing, and they got this sack right now. And I remember AZ, I do quote a lot of music. AZ say in the one song, he say, hey, Massa, go get in your tablet. Leave him alone. So AZ say, he say on the one cut, he say, some new niggas emerged. He say, I forgot, but basically some new dudes came in, start giving dudes work, and then you heard about a bunch of people getting hurt. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's really nothing you can do if that kid don't want to do. Perfect example. I just thought about something. It's a guy that I know, a kid, grew up on 105. I used to pick him up out of trap house all the time, right? His brother close in age to his brother catch cases all the time, right? But this particular kid, he turned around, like, he'd tell you, like, oh, I want to be an engineer. This is what he was telling me when he was 14. He just graduated this year. I talked to him some days ago. He said, I'm about to go to CSU to be a lawyer. So I said this to say this. A lot of stuff, we can't really determine those factors. It's based upon what an individual wants. Because by the time you're in middle school, take that back. Yeah, by the time you're in the fifth, sixth grade, you already know what social crowds you're gravitating towards. You already got a sense of identity and where you want to be. So, yeah, it's nothing a parent can do nor say, no matter what they're doing at home. You know, like, hey, the kids feel like they want to be a part of a lifestyle, they're going to assume the role.
Interesting. Sis, I know you're on mute. Did you want to chime in?
No, I'm just listening. They are absolutely,
I know, right?
Correct. I totally agree with everything I have heard. You know, with Ronald Reagan, he put a lot of things into place that would, and I think with even with the political atmosphere now, people just look at the here and now. They don't think about how your vote or lack thereof will affect the coming generation. You know, and how hard it is to go back to change laws, if you have anybody that's willing to do that. You know, but it's set into place to, first of all, you know, when you look at black women and black men, you think about the man in the house rule. You know, when you go talk about social service programs and different things like that. So we're getting food stuff and being to feed your kids. If there was a man in the house or even cash assistance, you couldn't get that. You couldn't get those benefits. Why? Because he was there. They came and asked you. You know, it's like it was a setup. You know, here we're offering these programs. We won't offer anything to a black man or to a man in general, but we'll offer it to a woman. Why? Because she's going to think about how she's going to feed her kids. You know what I'm saying? This is how it's all set up. So she going to think about how she's going to feed her kids. She also going to think about how she's going to get her man in there so she can feed him too. You know what I'm saying? This is what you're supposed to do. But it was set up to destroy the family. And all of those things that were set into place so many years ago, you see them firsthand now. You see the results of that. You know, you don't have big moms in the house no more. You don't have fathers in the house. Where at least before, even if you had 50%, you had 50% versus 20% that you may have now. You know, little boys, even with little girls now, you see little girls so hard, and you don't even see the femininity in a lot of little girls no more. You know, and it's sad. You see little toddlers, little kids that's so angry. And it's like, why? Why is it that you see a little kid that's so angry? What's going on at home? Something's going on at home. You know, and all of these things play a role and play a factor. You know, everybody always talk about LeBron and he ain't this and that. LeBron beat the odds tenfold over because it was his mom. His mom was, you know, out here. His dad wasn't around. It was the neighborhood and different people that helped to raise him. You know, and he made different choices. And just like he was just stating that, you know, it's all in your mindset. It's how you looking at it. He was one that said, I'm going to raise my hand. I'm moving forward. This is not going to be, you know, my history. I'm not going to, you know, just leave my kids. Or I'm not going to be out here. I'm not going to be able to feed myself or my family, you know. And that's like one in a million. And then when you look at all the other kids out here that suffering, that's why you have so much violence now. Like, how do we fix those things? Where does it start? And he is right when he talks about reading. You know, if you can read, you can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
If you can read, you can do anything. And if you can't, start somewhere. Start somewhere. But now you got everybody into Instagram. Everybody into this. They could care less of what an article says. They're just looking at the picture of it. And that's how we dig our own right for ourselves. We might as well just jump in. Because at some point, we are strong. As a people, black people, we are strong. And we can do whatever it is we set our mind to. But what are you setting your mind to? What are your intentions? What do you want for yourself?
Uh-huh. I'm sorry, somebody calling.
It's like even when I hear people talk about people out here selling drugs or doing this, that, and the other, one thing they mask you has got to be tight. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I look at those things. Your mask, regardless of whatever it is you're doing, your mask has got to be tight. Because to be moving whatever product you're moving at, you know, whatever the amount is, you got to be on point with math. So at some point, you have to be able to read something. It's like build on those things. You know, I'm not condoning it by any means. But what I'm saying is that we have an opportunity to do something, to start with our kids. Hell, if a parent can't read, then the kid gonna struggle. They're gonna have a hard time. All they're gonna get is whatever they get from school or older sibling or something. Now you got little kids being raised by their siblings. Why? Because their parents are out in the street.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, how do, at what point, if we don't do something now, like this is an immediate problem. This is like danger. This is a warning sign. You see all these criminal activities going on out in every state. Before it would be some states are worse than others. Cleveland just as bad as Chicago. You know what I'm saying? As far as crime rate, as far as the murder rate, as far as different things like this. And it's like, at what point do we say, wait a minute, instead of turning our head saying, this ain't our problem. No, this is our problem because guess what? It's at our door. You know? That's just my thoughts.
Oh, no, definitely, definitely. I wanted to ask Parcel, thank you guys for some great dialogue that y'all putting it out there. And I'm not going to speak too much about, you know, my upbringing and all that stuff is on this show, but I want to kind of get a little bit more feedback from you guys. So I do have quite a bit of listeners. Thank you very much for everybody tuning in. I don't know if it was a topic or everybody just wanted to say, let's go support Queen today. So I definitely appreciate all the 440-216-470-678. I see you. Thank you for hanging in there with me. And, of course, Elroy, I already called your 440. And, of course, our humble co-host for today, Jerome. So I have another question, right? So we can say this all day long, that if this person need to be responsible, that person need to be responsible, this person need to do this. But what do we do? First, as an individual. Second, as a parent, because I think almost everybody that's listening is a parent. Not everybody, but probably 75% are parents. And then what do we do as a community to strive to our children from becoming a statistic of prison? What do you guys think? So first, as an individual, as a parent, and then as a community, how can we play our part? Yes, we could say mentor. Yes, we could say educate. Yes, we could say lead and guide and things like that, but as an individual, say, for example, Jerome, what would you do as a person, as a parent, as a community to make a change? Elroy, Sis, and then I'll kind of chime in. Or if someone else want to chime in, hit your number one, but go ahead, Jerome.
I would say I would first build myself up. So if I'm nothing, I'm an autodidact. And for some who don't know what that particular term is, it means self-taught person. Most of the things I learned in school, we don't even use anyway, except for the fundamentals of reading, right? And, you know, the math, if we go on some particular science or chemistry, you know what I'm saying, something to that effect. But first we have to educate ourselves. We have to identify, what am I doing wrong? how I'm selling myself, and then look at, okay, is I'm selling my kid in any particular way, right? And then once those particular factors are looked at, then we could turn around and reach the community. First and foremost, I would educate myself first and then be a part of the solution. I only rock with people that's part of the solution. I ignore all the bullshit conversations because we're really at war, you know, and people don't really see it. We at war. So the biggest solution I would say is get involved. And I don't think we all have to keep creating and reinventing the wheel, because that creates separatism too. So find an organization that's doing something that you want to do, volunteer, and then see how you can, you know, elevate to make it full time. But that's definitely what we got to do. We just need to get more active. And like you said, stop placing the blame game and start taking accountability.
Absolutely. What about you, Elroy?
You know what? What he's saying is right, you know, but I'm from Cleveland and stuff, grew up, you know, I seen friends and stuff, you know, with their mothers and going through a rough patch. And a lot of times, be honest with you, I'm going to be true. You know, a lot of times, you know, parents, you know, mothers, you know, they get high, want to be their kids' friends. You can't be no kid friends. You got to be a mother. You got to lead by example. And go for these guys, too. They got to be more in their kids' life and man up and quit being a coward. But as far as with the kids and stuff, man, I see a lot of disrespect, because it's like this. Once you let a kid cross a boundary, he going to keep crossing it. He gonna keep trying to, he or she gonna keep trying to, you know, they gonna act you their friend. So now you tell them to go do something, you doing the same thing, and you getting high with them, and you telling them to go clean your room, and they talking back, and they, man, I don't want to hear this shit right now. Go roll up. I'm your mother. You don't got to talk to me like that. You, I put clothes in back, but you started twisting, get this, your kid a blunt. It's a lot to parenting, you know, like Jerome say, man, we have to be aware, we have to give them these kids life. It was a movie, I think her name Tahaji. And she played in a movie, her son was the first black heart surgeon. She ain't know how to read. She had two jobs. But one thing she kept a book in their face. And she, you know, she was strong, and she was a strong, beautiful, power black woman, because she kept them out the streets. She kept them in the books, you know, and she had to teach herself. She taught herself how to read, you know. So it's a lot to parenting, you know. But not all kids, you know, go straight, but you can only hope for the best, but you can do the best you can. And once again, a lot of people don't, you know, they might have moral support, you know, from their aunties, their cousins, grandma, but truth be told, young black female women, they figure like, oh, I raised these kids, I cared them for 9 months, nobody can't tell me nothing. And this is where we go wrong at, because once again, it takes a village. You know, so we have to listen, and we have to grow. We have to persevere. We have to advance with these kids. Otherwise, they gonna be continue doing what they're doing. You know, but see, I hate to say, yes, it is the majority, because when I say the majority, everybody want to go to clubs. Everybody want to get high, drink. So it's, you know, it's damn near from every damn near out of 10 households, it's at least like 5 or 6. You know, that's doing that. You know, it ain't no blame game, because at the end of the day, it's about the kids. But we need to recognize where the problem lies. We need to know our kids. We need to, like Jerome say, we need to reevaluate ourselves, because if we ain't better, these kids ain't gonna be better.
Absolutely.
They ain't gonna be better. But it's inevitable. It's not gonna happen if you trying to be a kid friend. You know, mm-hmm. I understand, you know, a lot of, and it's true. Now, you talking about the mothers who don't, they're trying to support, you know, don't have time and stuff like that, you know, but it's, you know, they get up age, man, and we feel like, you know, some parents feel like they don't got no father issues, so I'm going to be leaning on these kids and stuff. Now, I'm going to beat myself and hold myself a regret because of father.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it it comes from that because that's like, take my cousin, for example. Her mother, you know, she grew up without a father, so all of a sudden, the father want to decide to play dad. So he's going to decide mm-hmm. to play dad. So he's telling my cousin, you know, your mother the reason why this and this and that. So she say, so she cried to my grandma. So my grandma say, baby, listen, bring her over for a weekend. So my grandma told my little cousin, she say, you know what? She say, you got a brain, don't you? Say, okay, well, mm-hmm. since you got a brain, 1 + 1 = 2. If 1 + 1 ain't two, it don't add up. Whatever your father told you, you got eyes to see, and you should know better that your mother doing the best she could. Your mother striving, mm-hmm. your mother struggling, but
mm-hmm.
you listen to somebody who ain't in your life and who don't want to take responsibility. You're biting their hand to feed you.
Right.
And my grandma called my auntie. She said, you know what? She said, baby, we need to talk. She say, baby,
right.
That's the problem. Stop being these kids' friends. They cross so much boundaries right. getting into now. You ask them something, and you getting high with them. You think they gonna respect you? So it take me.
I got
it
somebody want to chime in real quick. 678. 678. You there?
Hey, peace, Queen. Yeah, how y'all doing?
678, your mic over. Let me know once you're ready to chime in.
Okay, can you hear me?
We're going. I'm going to give him a minute. But go ahead.
Okay,
I'm about to,
how y'all doing? Yeah, please, Queen.
Once
you're
ready, just send me a quick text. All right. Yeah, sis. Oh,
yeah, I'm here.
Sis, you down.
No, I'm here.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, Queen.
Uh-oh, what happened? Hold on a second.
Queen, can you hear me?
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear.
Oh, I couldn't hear y'all. My headset. Okay, hold on one second. I didn't hear. I don't know. My bag, I'm about to bring you back in, 678. My headset only give me a certain amount of time. My bag. My apologies. Pardon. Go ahead, 678. I think
okay,
I got you.
Okay. All right, can you hear me now?
Sorry, I got you. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, first I want to say how y'all doing.
I've
definitely been enjoying dialogue. My name is Majestic. I just want to add on to what y'all was saying about the kids. One thing I've learned, you know, ultimately everything that y'all spoke on as far as, like, solutions, is definitely necessary. But what I've also learned is that regardless, one thing we can do is the best we can because regardless, you know, our kids are going to gravitate in the direction they choose to ultimately, you know, whether it's a two-parent home or whether it's a great support system, whether the environment is a great one. Ultimately, the kids have a lot more to deal with than we did when we were younger, you know, and everything is more psychological now, you see. So only thing we can do is our best, you know, and as far as role models, you know, who the kids look to, yeah, that makes a big difference because, you know, it's a generational gap now, and it's hard to communicate. So we might, you know, it might be something we missing, you know what I mean, somewhere as far as, like, individually, our own personal lives. It could be something missing that can actually, I don't know if you want to say, help us as far as, like, relating to the kids, you know, because like I said, our kids, they deal with so much on a day-to-day basis, especially when we're not around them, you know. That plays a part in it. The social media, things of that nature, you know, it's taking everyone away from reality, you know. And we try to shield, keep a lot of things away from the kids, when in all actuality, you know, they looking for understanding. It's just like when we were kids and our parents would tell us, don't touch that stove because it's hot. You know, you say, why? Now they say, don't touch that stove. You say, why? They say, because I said so. You know, but then, you know, okay, well, you didn't give them no understanding. Guess what? They're going to go touch it anyway. It's like, oh, that's why. So my mom told me something a long time ago when I was younger. I used to ask her, you know, Mom, why you and Dad ain't together no more? Why you not together? She's always say, I tell you, when you're old enough to understand. But then one day she was like, you know what, if you're old enough to ask, then I should tell them. You know what I'm saying? So it kind of gave me a little insight on certain things. The understanding is what makes a difference as well, you know, because, you know, no matter how much we try to hide from the kids, they smart nowadays. They're a lot smarter than we were. You know, so it's only somewhere we think we concealing, we hiding them from or protecting them from. But in all actuality, if we keeping it from them, they're going to go find an understanding on their own from somewhere, and it might not be the right understanding. You see what I'm saying? So they feel like they getting the understanding somewhere else as opposed to from us, then you know what? It's almost like we're pushing them away to a degree. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, well, see, Mom and Dad, my uncle won't tell me, help me to get this, then guess what? You know what I mean? This dude that stay down the street, you know, he'll tell me something. You know what I mean? And it kind of, you know, I guess leads them in, you know, a direction that we didn't necessarily, you know, want for them. You know, it's like personally, individually, like my son grew up two-parent home, great support system, private school, you know, playing in the bands, it's sports, it's everything, all the opportunities in the world. But once he reached a certain age, he started gravitating towards the street stuff, things that he knows nothing about except for what he's seen on, you know, social media, you know what I'm saying? And in that case, it was kind of like a generational gap because my situation, you know, I was gone for my son's life for a long time doing, you know, doing a bid, you know what I mean? So I had a relationship with him, but not as it should have been. So my mother and stepdad raised him. So it's that generational gap that I was speaking about earlier, you know. It's like with us, we could relate to our parents and grandparents on a certain level, you know what I'm saying? But now you got grandparents, you know what I'm saying, and grandkids without the parents being in the mix makes a big difference. You know what I'm saying? So and now you got just us and seeing a lot of the younger brothers and sisters now, you know, it's hard to relate to each other because they don't want to listen to us, you know what I'm saying? And then you have a lot of us don't want to listen to them, you know what I mean? So now you got that barrier in between it. So it's a lot of things, you know, that I guess you say it's a lot of things, you know what I mean, that can go into that, what we could or should do with the kids, you know what I'm saying? I just personally think it's just about us doing the best that we can based on our own personal experiences and based on what we've been saying, you know. And that's how I see it, you know. Kids just, you know, they naturally curious, you know what I'm saying? So I think it's about giving them more understanding on a lot of things and why they are the way they are. And like I said, everything y'all said, definitely good points, you know, reading them and educating them, you know what I'm saying? Even more so, you know, like I said, being that everything is more psychological nowadays, then I think we have to really dig a little deeper as far as the psych goes, you know what I'm saying? That's just my, you know, personal opinion of
it. That's what's up. That's what's up. All good stuff. All good stuff. Sorry for cutting your wisdom at the beginning. My headset was acting up, so I thought I had lost you there for a minute. So, yeah, I definitely appreciate you chiming in and giving us your thoughts. We're coming up on that magical hour, y'all, so I definitely want to get everyone's ending thoughts. Jerome, actually, I'm going to have Jerome go last. Majestic, if you want to go real quick since your mic is open right now, just give us some last, you know, lasting thoughts to kind of end the show. Like overall, you can just say whatever you want.
No, I just I appreciate the dialogue. I appreciate the educated minds, and you know, brothers and sisters coming together looking for solutions. You know,
yeah.
And giving each other something to think about. You know, we gotta always have something to think about. It's so much to learn, and different perspectives make a big difference in that.
Absolutely.
You know, so, I definitely appreciate, you know, the intelligent minds that spoke up. You know, I appreciate you as well, Queen. Definitely been knowing you for a long time, and you know, it's definitely
yeah.
always something to think about and something to grow on when it comes to you. So I appreciate you.
Absolutely.
I appreciate everyone else as well.
Appreciate you. Yeah, I appreciate you supporting me, being there, being a good friend, all that good stuff. You know, that goes a long way with me, and I know it goes a long way with you, too. So I definitely appreciate your time and sticking in there with me.
No problem. Anytime, you know
and
that.
And all that good stuff. Absolutely. All right. We'll talk all right. later.
All right. All
right. Okay. Sis, you want to give us your lasting thoughts real quick?
Yeah, but I want to kind of share something a little bit.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I kind of want to share something a little bit. It's kind of, I didn't think this was a story that I was ready to share yet, but this conversation kind of brought it up.
Okay.
As far as children, you know, is concerned, I think now this generation don't have any accountability, no coping skills. That's the difference. It's coping skills. Now, mm-hmm. my oldest son was murdered last year in Cleveland. And mm-hmm. we have an upcoming trial in the next couple of weeks. And when I think about my son, he wasn't about that life. My son grew up in Cleveland, finished school, out here working. He's been a normal young man, going to play basketball.
Mm-hmm.
He went to the basketball court, a car roller, and they shot him. They don't even know my son. Nothing about him.
Mm-hmm.
And when as I sit and I think about this daily, and I work with kids, I work with young adults, I work with families, you know, I could have worked with these people that murdered my son at some point. You know, mm-hmm. I think about, you know, how you have all these young people out here, you know, and it's a matter of you want what you want. I'm going to get it by any means necessary. You ain't getting it by any means necessary. A lot of them out here stealing it. They out here taking it.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, if we don't do something about this now, I'm not going to be the only one sitting on this side of a table.
Mm.
You know, I know how it feels to have to bury your child. And your child wasn't even out here selling drugs about that life. All the boy did was work. That's it. And loved his city.
Mm.
You know. And as a parent, when you have done everything that you can do, you raised your kids up the way that they're supposed to go. You sacrificed. You showed them that this is what you're supposed to do. This is what you're supposed to want. You made sure that every opportunity that you may have not had, you put those things in place so that your children can have them. They can reach for them. That's what you're supposed to do as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
What you see now out here is where I'm 50 years old. So what you see now is where you have my generation, the generation before me and after, that was out here getting turned up, doing everything that they wanted to do, having kids. They drop them off, you know, one of their family members take them and raise them because you out here doing what the fuck you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You out here doing what you want to do, leaving your kids to fend for themselves, leaving your kids to figure mm-hmm. out how the hell they supposed to put food on the table. That's a lot, because if that's a lot for an adult to deal with, that's a lot for a kid to deal with to figure
mm-hmm.
out how they're going to eat. A kid should never have to worry about if they got a warm place to live, if they got food to eat, if somebody give a damn. The
mm-hmm.
only warm place to go, if they ain't got a home to go to, is jail. Why? Because there's other motherfuckers there. They're going to get something to eat. They ain't worried about hell if they blank, if their brains going to get blown out here going to the basketball court. We got to take some ownership. Because we failed our kids.
Yeah.
Women need to look at who the hell you bring home. Everybody you meet ain't meant to be your man. Everybody you meet ain't meant to get none. Everybody you meet ain't meant to be in your household. And then everybody that you meet ain't meant to be your baby mama. That ain't no badge of honor. It ain't. Like, I just don't understand. And I listen and I try to absorb everything around me. Just try to figure out why and how. And try to figure out all these questions. I have spent the last almost 30 years working with kids in the city of Cleveland, in the schools, down in the project. I grew up in the project. How to help these kids get a way out, to know that there is, that you are more than your surroundings. Open up my door to people that didn't have no place to go. Fed kids, family. When I worked in local government, I wasn't supposed to take my money to go feed a family. But when I go there, if they ain't got no food, guess who was going to get them food so they wouldn't be hungry? So Children and Family Services is one separator. And how do I know that one of them families that I helped ain't the ones that murdered my son? You see what I'm saying?
Right.
What I'm saying is, and every day, this is something I have to deal with. So whether it affects you directly or indirectly, it will affect you. So the thing is, if you want yourself to be able to breathe when you walk outside and not worry about if you're going to get shot in the head, if they're going to have to be washing down a park because your remains is there, or if that's your, or it's going to be your mother or your kid or somebody crying over a cat and you ain't do nothing, if that's going to be your baby floating out here in the river, come on now. We all got to do something. We all have a responsibility. You can't say it ain't on me. We all got to do something. That's it.
Okay. Oh, yeah, sorry to hear. I know you are a close friend of mine, so I definitely know what you went through. I was actually there, not physically, but I was there when that happened to you, and I know you're still going through that. So I know this one here kind of, you know, piqued that a little bit in you. So, you know, much love to you, sis. You know, I'm always here for you for all of that. And I love your feedback. I greatly appreciate you always supporting the show and things like that. But, you know, if you ever need something, I'm always here for you, hon.
I know, sis.
Yeah, absolutely. I know. Big hugs to you, all that virtual hug stuff. you my sis for real. But yeah, definitely, you know, I know I haven't experienced what you went through, but I definitely can feel that because, you know, we family at the end of the day. So much love for you for that. But like I say, if you ever need anything and support, I'm always here to support you through anything you're going through, okay?
I know, I love you too, girl.
Oh, that's so sweet. I lost Elroy. I wanted Elroy to give his lasting thoughts. But last but not least, first of all, I definitely had a great turnout this evening. I want to give somebody else a quick chance before I let Jerome close us out today. But if you guys want to kind of chime in real quick, 440-216-678, he had to go, but I definitely appreciate him chiming in and giving his great wisdom, of course. So if anybody want to say something before we end the show, but before I have Jerome close out the show today, hit your number one. I'll bring you in. You can ask Jerome a quick question, myself, or just kind of add on to what we were speaking about. Maybe give us some of your ideas or thoughts on what we can do to make things a much better place for our babies coming up. Going once, going twice. All righty. Jerome, are you still there?
Oh, yes. Sure, I'm definitely here.
There you go. Yeah, for before you start, though, even though I'm going to do it after you speak, but I definitely appreciate this amazing topic. Your wisdom is always on point. I love your dialogue. I greatly appreciate you coming on and being part of the team co-host. You know, I knew today was going to be a great show, and I greatly appreciate you. But I wanted you to kind of close out today's show. You could say whatever you want, lasting thoughts, maybe put some great provoking thoughts on someone's mind about something, and boom, the mic is yours.
For sure. I definitely want to say thank you. You know, it's a blessing to even be a part of what you got going on, for sure. I think, fuck what I think, I'm going to tell you what I know.
Yeah. I know, right?
For real. So the sister summed it up. You know, I definitely appreciate you sharing your story and being vulnerable enough to share that with us about losing your son. And, you know, peace and blessings to you, for sure. I definitely think by her sharing that, it summed up everything, because if we're not being a part of these problems that we see taking place in the community, we just as bad as the systems that's in place, you know? And I'm going to share real brief a story that I had shared with Queen. It was a guy in California, ex-football player. The guy, he used to go watch young people play football, and he saw a guy that had a bad temper, but he never said nothing to him, right? So that same bad kid that had the bad temper that he saw that was a good athlete and never said nothing to him, he was a part of a gang. And he was illiterate. He couldn't read. So when he had got the address to go put a hit out, he read the address wrong and killed the man's family. You know, so the same man who used to watch him playing football and could have stepped in and intervened because he had the position and the resources, never did. And it turned bad for him because he ended up killing that man's whole family. And now the young boy who ended up killing his family, he didn't have any family. And now that man, he don't have no family. But now the guy who lost his family go visit that young man all the time because they the only family each other got right now. And that's a, hey, get down.
Wow.
Bye. Get out.
Ain't that deep, sir? That's deep, yeah.
Because if we don't step in and intervene and do something, like we see kids every day, we scared to say something. But power, power. You know what I'm saying? So if we turn around, we can't be scared of the people that we that's up under us. You know what I'm saying? Like we the adults in this situation, and if we don't step in and make a change in some type of capacity, we gonna like I said, and like the sister said, if we don't do nothing, whether it's wherever we at, whether somebody we know or don't know, we don't do nothing. We never know when that call going to be at our door. You know what I'm saying? And we're going to be on the same side. So I just encourage more people to get involved, you know, and if you don't have the ability to create something from ground up, that's cool too. That don't mean you can't be a part of nothing, but find an organization that's doing some work out here and making a change. Shit, y'all can tap in with me if y'all want to. You know, and help out. But when it's all said and done, play a part or move out the way. And I say that respectfully. We're the only group of people who look for other people to do shit for our kids who we all brought in this world. You know what I'm saying? So I say check ourselves and let's stop saying, yeah, this system in place and they doing this and they doing that. What are we doing? What changes are we making? So I just wanted to speak to that, and that's all I got.
That's That's what's up. That's what's up. You put it all out there for us today. Man, today was a great show. Today was a really great show. I appreciate all the wisdom that was put out there today. As always, thank you for tuning in to the Enigmatic Wave Radio Show every Sunday at 7 p.m. Welcome to the team, Jerome. You did amazing, as though I knew you would. As always, sis, thank you for tuning in. I had a great listener today, so thank you for everyone. I had a 678. I think 678 is Atlanta. I think Majestic is from Atlanta. I gotta remember that. But I think he's from Atlanta, so he was definitely calling in from Atlanta. Of course, my family, my daughter, my grandson, he fell off, though, but he was there. Amber always supporting the show. I see you out there, Tay. Thank you. I see some other 440s. I'm not sure who you are, and I see a couple of the 216. But whoever you are, thank you for definitely supporting the show today. It was an amazing show, great dialogue. Thank you for everyone who just gave me your hour and 15 minutes, hour and 11 minutes. We didn't have too many technical difficulties. My headset went out on me for a minute, but other than that, we started out pretty good. Yeah, so next Sunday, same time, same place, at 7 p.m. I had to check my schedule to see who the co-host is, but definitely feel free. My other co-host is just chime in and see. I might have a schedule together for us in a couple of days, probably by tomorrow, so y'all can see what's the next topic for the next 10 weeks or so. Well, the next 9 weeks. Other than that, everybody enjoy your beautiful Sunday. Thank you, Bree, for tuning in. I see you out there, sweetie, Amber. Elroy, he's part of the team too now, but he fell off. I guess he had to go too. With that being said, I'm not sure what the next week's topic is going to be. I'm going to have to check the topic list, but I'm sure it's going to be a great one as it was for today. With that being said, you guys enjoy the rest of your evening. Always reach out to me if you have a topic in mind, if you want to join the show, if you want to just say, hey, Queen, let me be a guest. I got you. With that being said, you guys enjoy the rest of your Sunday evening. Peace.
They should have treated you better. Girl, they should have treated you better. They didn't show you enough love. Now you just want more, now you just want more. They didn't show you enough love.
Should've showed you better, yeah.
I know what you want, girl. You ain't even gotta tell, you know I got it. Feel like you deserve to be loved. Your exes did you wrong. That's why you stayed alone. Your lonely days are gone. I came out here to save you. It's the night of your life. Girl, put on your pretty ass dress. It's the night of your life. Girl, you gon' forget your stress. How could it treat you that way? You the kind of girl a nigga trimming about, yeah. You ain't even got flows that could look at you all day. Let me tell you things, things that you never doubt, you wouldn't even know. You're beautiful, sexy, but the niggas never told you, girl, I guess they didn't know. Let me take you for a ride, let me ease your mind. If the niggas ever call you again, girl, tell them you'll be alright. Cause they should've treated you better. Girl, they should've treated you better. They didn't show you enough love. Now you just want more, now you just want more. They didn't show you enough love. Now you just want more, girl. They didn't show you enough love. Girl, you did everything right, but it didn't work. I try to give you the best, cause you already been through the worst. Let me take away your pain. Take your head and take my hand. You haven't had fun in a while. Shawty, I'ma make you feel so loud. Don't worry about a thing. And girl, just let me take you where you wanna go. top back, windows down, volume up, ride it slow. I'ma take you for a ride, I'ma ease your mind. Niggas ain't gonna call you again, girl, cause everything is alright now. You need someone that's down for you. You need someone that's down for you. Late night drive, take a late night drive. Late night drive, take a late night drive. Late night drive. Take a late night drive. It's a late night drive.